What's up, y'all? We are back with another week of slaying some demons. It's me, your host, when Zenitsu became a chef and made some tomato soup, because I got some tomato soup. Of course, I am always joined with my fellow anime lovers and arms. We got Emily.
Hey guys, it's Emily. Happy to be here for another week. This week I am feeling girl boss gaslight. How does it go?
Girl boss, gaslight, gatekeep.
That one. That's how I'm feeling.
Okay. Just to throw it out there though, Emily is totally girl bossing at work right now. Just wanted to
She
shout
really
you
is.
out for what you're doing because you're rocking
She
it.
always is.
Always. What's up, everyone? It's Hannah. I had two peppermint white mochas yesterday, if that explains how I'm feeling.
You had two?
I had two.
Good for you. Honestly, we love to see it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's a treat yourself time for sure.
I did get my caramel brulee latte, so and my cranberry bliss bar that I could not finish. It was better in my memory than it was.
Oh my
No.
It was still good. It was still good, but my sweetness tolerance is decelerating for food, I think. I can still have a sweet coffee once in a while, but I really can't do dessert anymore, guys. I don't
Lucky
know.
you. I definitely gave myself a stomach ache yesterday with two, I think it was like 145 grams of sugar after two of them. I was like,
It's the holidays.
cool.
We love to see it. Honestly, sometimes, it's the small things that are going to get you through the day. It's like, those millennials, they're spending on avocado toast and their Starbucks. Well, listen, okay, those are the things that are keeping me going and running the economy. So maybe we could chill for a second, okay?
Literally.
Of course, our demon slayers don't have to worry about an economy. The only economy they're in the interest of is demon blood. And that's what we're here to talk about, of course. So we open this week's episode 17. You got to master one thing, right? We open on a full moon, which I think is kind of interesting, right? Because it's a voiceover of Tanjiro and the full moon is showing. What do we think this full moon means for the rest of our arc? And how do you think it affects what the slayers are about to go through?
First of all, the arc was working really well when we were in spooky season. I'm kind of sad we didn't get it finished while we were still in spooky season because this is a very Halloween type arc. But I think it's kind of an ominous omen to what is to come for this arc. You know, we are seeing quite a lot of crazy things go down, a lot of shifts in the narrative of the story with there being a demon family. So I think it's just kind of that omen of, all right, we're getting somewhere pretty crazy. But I also think it goes along with the story of parallels within the story as a whole, because this isn't the first time we've seen a full moon, and it won't be the last.
Yeah, I like this question. It's fun because I think there's a lot of different ways we can go with it. For one thing, obviously, this is one of the first real 12 Kozuki that Tanjiro is going to be fighting, one of the 12 moons. So I think it's a little bit of a nod to that. In addition, the full moon in particular, like in just like the moon phases that we can talk about, it depends on like what list you look at, but like the full moon is either the beginning or the end of the cycle kind of thing. It's like when the moon is in its fullest position in the sky and you're able to see the most of it. I like to think of it as the beginning, I think, for this, and then it slowly like fades into the new moon and then kind of makes the transition again. I think a full moon would make a lot of sense here as the beginning because, again, this is like the first real Kozuki that Tanjiro is fighting. And so it's signifying, I think, the beginning of this cycle that he's going to have to go through to eventually, hopefully, get to what's going to be a new moon, which might be a world with no demons. But those are just my thoughts.
Wow, that answer was packed. Both your answers were packed with meaning. I love that, right? For me personally, God, I think of I don't think her name was actually Stacy, but one of my customers at Starbucks, let's call her Stacy, was like, the new moon always messes with my life. Like, I feel like so lost and out of sorts. And it's like when werewolves transform. So I think we're also going to see some like maybe odd behaviors. We've seen some odd behaviors so far, right? Inosuke has been actually helpful to Tanjiro so far. Maybe this is kind of some good chaos that we need for our trio. So hopefully we see some good things come out of this cycle. But after we get away from that full moon, we pan to Shizunitsu, quite literally walking to a fork in the road, right? What does this mean for his plot line throughout the episode? Because he starts by walking to a literal junction. Where does this lead him?
I think this is like, again, the time where he's going to have to make some decisions that have real stakes behind them. He can either keep doing what he's been doing or he can buck up. And like, that's like the psychological meaning, I think, of this fork in the road. He can go one way or the other. He can choose life or he can choose death, I think, in these situations. So he has to decide, like, is he going to buck up? Does he have something that's worth protecting at this point or not? And additionally, just like, is he actually going to go all the way up the mountain or not?
A literal right. Fork in the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, piggybacking off of what Emily said, I think it's very telling for his character because we've seen him with this split personality, right? You know, he is scaredy cat, anxious babe that we love so much, but also then if he goes to sleep, he's this badass, like super powerful slayer that some argue is the most powerful of the three of them. And he has to start making choices. He can't keep living the way he is. That's just not going to keep him going once they start, you know, getting to those possibly tougher demons to face. So I think it is literal and metaphorical for his character. He needs to start making those decisions to start really walking on the right path, whether that's away from the Slayers or continuing on and trying to be stronger.
Yeah. And I think, hopefully, as we see more of their interactions together, the trio is going to really bring Zenitsu into the fold more of like being a lot braver in that sense. I think it's important that he kind of faces a junction at this point, right? But not just for the story itself, but also as like a likable character when you're looking at it from the writing standpoint, like this character needs to grow up at some point. And so, I mean, this episode's kind of why I'm a Zenitsu stan. So of course, glad to be talking on this episode, but going forward, just a quick note, not that this is like the most important moment in the episode, but I just want to talk about that Zenitsu got that little trope of like, and like a big surprise right before we cut to the intro of the show. I just love those so much. Like when you get like a small, like, is that character going to die or whatever, right before the intro, but before that, we saw him get bit by a spider, and now he's chosen to go down a path after seeing one of the spider humans. Another side note, that spider looked like one of the toys from Sid's room. Do you guys know what I'm talking about in Toy Story?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was like, that was one of my first thoughts when I saw that. But right now he's seeing this treehouse that is strung up by spider webs and people hanging from. I'd be terrified, too. How does this compare to the demons that Zenitsu's encountered so far and kind of contrasting between those encounters and now?
Can I just say how proud I am of him that he didn't just like instantly run away? Like he thought about it first, and he even thought about Tanjiro. He was like, man, this smell, if Tanjiro was here, he would be dying right now. Like, I think that shows, like, obviously he still ran, but it still shows growth. Like, there still is a little part of his brain that's like, maybe I shouldn't run, maybe I should fight. And he's not quite there yet. Obviously, we're still in season one, but it's showing those little steps. And I was watching this episode with my sister the other day, and neither one of us likes spiders. So we both came to the conclusion that if this happened to us, we would have instantly ran as far away as possible, faster than we could ever run before, because that's just not our cup of tea. I think every demon that we've seen him encounter so far have been very basic demons, and he's been terrified by it. And this is by far the scariest thing he's seen. And yet it takes him the longest to run away. So definitely growth on his part.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that there's growth. I do think that the drum demon was relatively intimidating, but I also think that he kind of gave in or like gave up a little bit faster to like his sleeping side. And so was able to fight, you know, at least in that house, the Suzumi Mansion, a little bit more quickly than here. I think he actually has to make more of an active decision here. And again, to totally echo Hannah's thoughts, not a fan of this spider demon myself. Something about, like, out of all of them, I think that I like this one the least to like watch, because there's something about like the Valley of the Uncanny, like you said, Brian, it looks like the thing from Toy Story, but like worse. And like something about like the 3D movement of like the head versus the body being separate is just like very unsettling.
I was thinking about that when I was watching it last night, when like I was watching it for recording today. The way they made the spider body move was so incredibly creepy. I got shivers because it was like the first time I was truly paying attention to the animation. And I was like, holy crap. I am terrified. I'm going to have nightmares now. But to kind of go off of what you said with him being like the creepiest so far, I mean, he's one of the first ones that doesn't have like a human form as a demon, so it definitely is kind of a new experience for all of us to see a spider body in a demon.
That's true. We haven't seen anything else that doesn't look kind of human, I guess. Yeah. Or like has like more of a corporeal form.
Mm-hmm.
It's unsettling. It's creepy. I think the closest is probably the swamp demon, which like still looked human. It just like was able to dissolve really easily.
Hmm.
I don't know.
This demon obviously is gross. But like the thing about this is that like all the demons I think we've seen so far haven't been, or I guess maybe somewhat, but like haven't been as an indulgent as this one has been. And I think that kind of opening, like him coming down on that web and rotating, like, it's just mm-hmm. like a let me play with you a little bit like that. Like, I'm a horror fanatic and I mean, spiders aren't the worst. I know they serve a purpose in the world, but also the same breath, like that got me so good. I was like,
no, thanks.
But right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Come back later. We're come close. Back never. Never. Kill it with fire.
Yeah, Rengoku's not here yet. We got to wait for that.
It's true. Lightning will have to do for now.
But right, after they meet face-to-face, Zenitsu says, I don't want to talk, and starts running around. Per usual. However, all he does is keep talking to the spider demon and how he doesn't want to turn into one. Do you think this is a coping mechanism from Zenitsu, or is it a plea to just make it stop?
I think it's probably more akin to a coping method. I think that by him vocalizing what he does and doesn't want, maybe it makes it a bit more concrete for him, and that helps him to stay conscious, like in his current reality a little bit more before like making the switch that at this point I think he's relatively unaware of. But it's kind of funny because it's also like he just can't let anybody else get the last word. I think that that's part of it. He's been that way the whole time, like with the other two knuckleheads that we'll get back to in a minute, but like he just can't let them have the last word. He has to like say something, and so it's like he's like bantering with this spider demon back and forth, like, oh yeah, well I didn't want this anyway, who asked you? I'm not gonna let you get me, there's no way, because it couldn't be worse than this. So
totally ditto what Emily just said. I think it is a coping mechanism for him. I think, you know, running was futile, but he was just trying to run from the situation even though he couldn't. And I think that was kind of like not necessarily fight or flight, but maybe a little bit, because you instantly find out you're in danger, your instinct is going to be to run, especially if you're like Zenitsu, who tends to, you know, naturally want to run. You know, maybe if it were Tanjiro would have been like standing his ground, blah blah, but like it's Zenitsu, right? He is like all of us. He is like the most normal one of the three, because he's the one who's like, I'm scared, I'm going to run. And that's totally fine. And that's totally normal. So I think it's just him really feeling like it might help, but also knowing that it won't. So he has to just keep talking through it to maybe even like get his mind off of it. Just like talking kind of comforts him. He likes to talk. So maybe he's doing it to try and make himself feel better. Who knows?
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I think that's why I like Zenitsuma the most, is because he really brings that reality to it, right? Like a lot of us on a day-to-day basis go through things that like we have to kind of talk ourselves through or unconsciously push through. So I definitely think it's like a valid point from him. And really, like, also with the poison on the clock, like, the man's really, like, losing it. Like, he didn't realize the first spider bite was, like, his initial downfall. And then, like, walking further into a trap, he really is feeling, like, out of sorts. And especially without Tanjiro around, right? Like, he's feeling like he's a lost puppy a little bit. So, definitely sad to see. But once we start to get into Zenitsu's backstory, does his backstory make sense with the character so far? We also see the comment from the spider demon that Zenitsu possibly only knows one form. Intermixed with these flashbacks with his Gramp, we learn that overall there's 6 forms, and also Gramps was amazing. We learn that Zenitsu was bullied and didn't have any parents and only wants to make a person happy in his lifetime. Given all this context, where do you think Zenitsu's going with this? And what do you think, his backstory tells us about what the future of this fight's going to be?
I mean, I think it shows that he has the potential to be really strong and to handle things well. He just comes from a life of difficulty and hardships. And when someone goes through so much of that, you can't really blame him for being scared and for being a little obnoxious. You know, he got taken advantage of. That's how he ended up in his Gramps' care. You know, it was because he raised money and went into debt for this girl and then she left him, So I think it just goes to show what his future might look like. I'm trying to formulate a sentence here, but without like speaking on the things that I know, but we know that his story is going to change. It's going to progress. It's not going to always be about this scared boy, because he worked really hard and he was struck by lightning. I mean, come on, he's lucky to just be alive. I would be scared of freaking ants if that happened to me. So, it's just, It goes to show the struggles that you go through can really make you the person that you are. And I think that's why he's got those two sides. He's terrified. He's scared of getting taken advantage of again. But at the same time, he's got that side that works hard, that is able to hone something into perfection. And it just says a lot about his character and what's to come.
Finger snaps for Hannah. Completely agree. With everything that she said. I think it's interesting. Obviously, they have extremely different personalities, but in some ways, he and Tanjiro are pretty similar. And like their upbringing, it definitely has some similarities, I think. You know, they kind of both have different kind of girl issue right now. So there's that. They were both trained by a former Hashira, which is like, there's got to be like only so many of those that are in retirement. I feel like maybe we find out that number later, but there's not many, because I feel like a lot of them probably die in the line of action and that's like how they get replaced. It's not super common. I don't think that they live to see a super old age, but both of them were trained by retired Hashira. They're both like really good at their respective like elemental fighting styles. So that's something that I think they can both relate to within each other, just not really having a ton of friends. Tanjiro obviously grew up with his family, but that seems like it was kind of the extent of it. And obviously he went through something traumatic to lose all of them, save for one. Zenitsu never really had it, so maybe couldn't quite miss it in the exact same way. But I think that they both have an appreciation for that company that comes with like having a family. And I think that that's what they both want at the end of the day. So Zenitsu's a little bit more headstrong and a little bit more fiery. you know, in some of his retorts and stuff like that, or he's a little bit more cowardly at times. But if his ultimate drive is to just make a single person happy in his lifetime, I do think that's kind of similar to Tanjiro too. He's just trying to get Nezuko back to normal and to make her happy, I think, in her lifetime, if he's able to achieve that goal. And I think that they share that goal as well. So I'll be interested to see how that relationship continues to develop throughout the show.
Yeah, that's a really interesting comparison you made. I think when you said, I'm trying to say this in a way so I won't spoil Hannah, but a certain character dynamic from Naruto also kind of rings true there, with not knowing the loss of things versus understanding what loss is. So I think, Hannah, when you get there, you'll find that out. But I also like this kind of background piece too, because it really is starting to demonstrate like where Zenitsu's coming from with his anxiety, right? With him being struck by lightning, and now Gramps was literally trying to warn him, like, hey, you have the power to, and then he struck himself with lightning. And I think that's what's one of the most interesting things about his character, is that his power seems to be somewhat not controlled consciously. And that's where he kind of derives from. It's like he is sometimes his own worst enemy. He kind of created his own predicament in this sense. Now, with the being bullied and stuff by the other, you know, protege of Gramps, that was really awful. But I do want to talk about one moment in that scene. They were in a peach orchard, and the other guy was eating a peach, and he threw it on at Zenitsu. It fell to the ground. However, I want to talk about nature and how this is represented, because that peach still has seeds in it. If you let that peach sit there, that peach will eventually grow into a tree. And I think that's what's kind of nice about that metaphor there, is that even though he is being like shot down early on, he is still in an environment that's auspicious to becoming a great slayer. And I think he just needs the right support. And I think that's what kind of Tanjiro and Inosuke are serving for him, is like the soil to help him grow, the water to then help him grow further. So I think that's a really interesting metaphor that's brought up. And I think this is the first demonstration of him using this, you know, kind of emotional power he has. Even though there's only six forms of thunder breathing and he's only got one of them, he's doing his best to really like bust it out and try and make that his like one weapon, right? Very similar to another character in Naruto who doesn't have any other skills, only can do one thing, Rock Lee, but you know, he's doing it. He's doing his best over there. So I'm really happy with kind of Zenitsu's backstory and kind of where we've seen it go. But of course, we've got to talk about how the fight actually plays out, right? And after that beautiful thunderclap and flash at sixfold, we start to see Zenitsu struggle to further fend off the poison, but he remembers Gramps telling him to never give up. I think overall this fight represents a lot of true human emotion here, because it demonstrates how we all have feelings of wanting to run, but unconsciously trying to face what's in front of us. Is there a time that this reminds you of from your personal life? I can also go first, because I know it's a loaded ass question. Actually kind of today was that day to not give up. I'm actually kind of very proud of today. I'm very proud. There's a lot of irony right now for those who are listening. As a Zenitsu stan, I'm talking about the Zenitsu episode on a day in which I am overcoming my own personal barriers. I did just pay off one of my student loans with my parents. Woohoo! My parents were charging me for the money that they set up in a college account for me, and it's been about 5 or 6 years of paying it off. And I definitely felt like Zenitsu with the poison inside him for a long time, and now that I'm here, like outside of my fight, like I'm looking back thinking, wow, I finally made it. And like that's what I've kind of used as inspiration. Like I thought about how the times, like I kind of made myself my own enemy at certain points, but in the same breath I was able to remember the love of those who were there for me and like the people I have around me to keep going.
Good for you, Brian. That's amazing.
Thanks. I got real emotional real quick.
That's okay.
I think maybe a good example for me is probably getting back into the world of theater again. I recently was cast in a play, and there have been some complications with the play, but I'm playing a leading role, and it's one of the first times I've been cast in like a completely like true leading role. And it's been like a long time to get here. And it's been like a long journey of like kind of that fork in the road of like, I graduated with my degree and I thought that I knew exactly what I wanted to do and what my path was going to be. But life is also real and things happen, and a pandemic happened in the middle of all of this. And so it's also become like juggling, like, how can I find work that I'm satisfied in that is still available during this strange time? And so that fortunately led me to a work environment where I was able to meet Brian and Hannah. So that's good, but I miss theater too, of course. And so getting back into it was kind of scary. It's tricky to put yourself back out there, especially when you feel a little bit rusty after such a long time. But it was important to me to get involved in it again. And I felt very supported by like my partner and my family and by the rest of the cast and the director and like everybody involved with the production. And I was really proud of myself when I was totally okay with getting a no thanks email after that audition. And that's kind of actually what I'd been banking on. I just showed up to the audition and was like, let's give it a try. And then I get the email instead that it's the lead role. And I'm like, oh man, like, here we go. Like, but it's exciting. It's a big commitment, but it's exciting. And I think that it'll be a good launching pad for the rest of what's to come. So I understand, I think, a little bit of what Zenitsu's feeling.
Snaps for Emily, honestly, rocking it. Oh man. I think right now I'm in a tough stage of my life. From the outside, it looks pretty good, you know, but I'm struggling with a lot of things internally, and it's one of the reasons why, as like we watch through this again, even though like Tanjiro, let me put this out here. Tanjiro is my favorite character and he always will be. We all know this, like no one will ever come close to Tanjiro, right? But Zenitsu has so grown on me because I truly like, I understand his character. The first time I watched it, I didn't find him super annoying, but I kind of saw him as like the somewhat annoying comedic relief character. And getting to kind of review his story and take a deep dive into like what he's going through, I'm like, damn, I relate, because I'm scared of things and I tend to run away from things. You know, like I got bad news at work this week and my instant mindset was to just kind of run away from it and just give up and say, well, it's a lost cause now, you know? And in some ways I kind of still am right now because I'm still reeling from the news that I got. But watching the episode last night, I was reminded of this very thing. And it was like, I need to face this. I need to, you know, take what is happening and turn it into something better. And it's causing me to just grow and grow on Zenitsu because I really just see myself so much in him. Like, my life right now kind of sucks. And it is what it is. Like, things are happening. We're adults here. It's going to happen to us. The economy sucks. You know, things happen, you know, but you can't just continue to run. And I feel like I have in the last few months. And this show reminds me, hey, stop running. You know, face it, be brave, do it, you know, try things that you've never tried before. Talk to people that you haven't talked to in a while, like that sort of thing. So it's something, it's crazy that you thought of this question because it's something that's like been really personal to me for the past few weeks. And I'm like emotionally spewing right now, but that's just the reality of it. And I won't hide the fact that I'm struggling, but like I said, that's a part of life. And some of the times, you know, watching your favorite TV shows over and over again actually help you. And I will take that to my grave.
Sasageo.
Virtual hugs for Hannah.
No, don't make me cry.
Oh my gosh, Ryan, it with the background though.
With
with the colossal titan.
With birth control just sitting there looking at us.
Not birth control. Oh. Didn't need to do them like that.
Not with the Bertolli soup in the background. Oh man. Honestly though, I feel like that's why I really put that question in there, is to kind of like not just remind ourselves, but also like the audience of like the purpose of Zenitsu is not always just comedic relief, right? It is like an emotional attachment there. So I'm really excited to see kind of what comes out of his arc going forward. Obviously though, he's not the only character we see in this episode, right? Tanjiro and Inosuke are still present. I just focused a lot on them. But, right, we finally see them start running around. They're on the lake, and they are Jay chilling when they see a demon, and we finally meet the father demon. What do we expect to see from this one? Because he looks like he's kind of powerful. Do you guys think we're going to see the full force of a father's retribution right now?
First of all, I want to just say this episode is very Zenitsu centric. So don't apologize for talking about your boy so much, because this episode was literally his episode. It was about him. Like, Tanjiro and Inosuke took a backseat. It was like the first time Tanjiro has, because the story's been about him so far. And it was actually refreshing. As a Tanjiro stan, I will say, this has to be one of my favorite episodes of the season. And Tanjiro's in the first scene and the last scene. Like, that's it. So snaps for your boy. Praise to your boy. Like, this episode can be all about him because he deserves it. His entire fight scene this episode was 10 out of 10. But to kind of answer your question, I think the introduction of this demon is very interesting, because we're seeing a lot of brute strength, more so than we've seen before. We've seen a lot of very interesting blood demon arts that are, you know, kind of like smart, you know, like the drum demon. He's maybe not really full of brute strength, but he's able to spin the room around, and that's his fighting style. We see the swamp demon, who again is not really that strong, but they're able to just kind of move around and evade attacks. This demon just jumps in and starts punching, and it's kind of cool to see. And you kind of wonder, just how strong is this guy? You see him make a pledge, like, stay away from my family. He's being the protective father. So, you know, everything's blending to believe that this could be the member of the 12 Kozuki, because we've never seen anyone like this. He is super strong. And we see Tanjiro about to lay a blow on him. That's the end of the episode. Bit of a cliffhanger. But this might be a bit of a tough battle, especially since Inosuke is so injured.
Yeah, and he's refusing to acknowledge that he's so injured, which is, like, very frustrating for Tanjiro, but totally in line with Inosuke's character.
100%.
So I think it's interesting that you wrote it this way, Brian, like, the full force, just like Hannah said, like, absolutely, this thing is going to use its force. And we've now been introduced technically to two additional spider characters that we have not seen before, because there's another smaller one that introduces him. So hopefully we'll get back to that later, but it means that there's quite a few spiders in this little kind of messed up family. So who knows, like, how many more there could possibly be, or, like, maybe have we seen all of them now? We'll have to wait to find out. And it's interesting that they're, again, like, the family dynamic of this spider family, and that it exists with the demons, and in particular that there's a father, I think. That's also something that all three of our protagonists have not really had present for most of their lives. Zenitsu had no parents. Inosuke was raised by boars. And Tanjiro's dad died when he was quite young. So it's interesting that they're going to have to, like, all band together, I think, to fight this, like, daddy issue that's popped up in front of them.
Not the daddy issues.
Oh, Lord.
What can I do? I got all these daddy issues.
Tanjiro and Inosuke be like.
Oh, man. And also, like, they're still confused too. They're like, what do you mean father demon? Like, right. I think in this episode, again, Tanjiro was like, I thought demons didn't band together. What is going on? You know, like he's super confused why this is happening. And why is this demon like not only being called a father, but like actively protecting his daughter that we just saw with this brute strength and like saying, don't come near my family. Like, we're getting all kinds of confusion, and just, it's a whole new ballpark for everyone involved, I think.
All right, but moving on to our favorite moments of the episode, right? Of course, my favorite episode, our favorite moment of this episode is going to be when we see Zenitsu hit that thunderclap and flash at sixfold. I mean, just gorgeous animation. Seeing him move like a pinball through the trees and up, and then hitting the moonlight, coming full circle on the phase of the moon, right? He is literally up there just perfectly absorbing every moment of like power and heroism in that. And I just think the moment speaks for itself. I don't want to speak too much on it because I don't want to ruin it, but like, God, shivers everywhere right now.
Bowing down to the animators for sure.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Well, my favorite moment, we already talked about a little bit, and I think I mentioned it in a previous episode too, and I know that this is like been very emotional, and it's like, oh, we all relate to Zenitsu, but I'm sorry, he has one of the funniest moments in the whole show at the beginning of this episode, like before the song even plays. And this is one, I don't care if this is a controversial opinion, I'm gonna stick to it. It is funnier in the dub. It is like, what the actor chose to go with for the lines is like different than what the subtitles are. And it's so funny. It's like the comedic timing of him like, great, now all this is happening and it stinks up here. Like, what's going on? And all the little like spiders are calling. He's like, get away from me. And then like the bigger creepy baby one is like behind him. He's like, and what do you want? And then it's like, just like looking at him, his reaction to that moment is like chef's kiss, like peak comedy to me. So that is like one of my favorite jokes in the entire show. I love it.
I'll have to watch that first scene in dub then. I know like they change like the wording a little bit to match like the mouths as much as they can. And I know that this isn't really a spoiler, but in the Entertainment District arc, the voice actor for Tengen in dub at one point said like, didn't ask, don't care. And in the sub, it's just like, why are you saying that or something like that? And I was like, okay, you didn't have to make it more funny.
Okay, but sometimes they do. Sometimes they really go ham with these. And this is one moment. And I am usually a sub person, but I remember I saw like this dub scene on, I think, Twitter like forever ago. And it is so funny. It is like so, so, so funny. So highly recommend you go back and watch it in the dub if you didn't.
I will. This episode, I've said this so many times, but this episode is full of great moments. I mean, you got the animation, you got the backstory, you got the just wonderful development for Zenitsu. But something that like always comes to mind and kind of a silly moment too is near the end after he's beheaded the demon and he's laying there and he's like contemplating dying pretty much, you know, he's like, Gramps will yell at you or something like that. And then he said, and Tanjiro will yell at you too. And you can just see like, first of all, Tanjiro wouldn't yell at him. He would be just so happy for him to be alive, as you know, will probably happen at some point. But I think you called to it a little bit earlier with like Zenitsu and Tanjiro have those parallels, but Zenitsu has been bullied by almost everyone. You know, his training environment, like his trainer was great and very kind to him, but the person that he trained with, as we saw, was clearly not nice to him at all and throwing peaches at him and telling him he wasn't worthy. Tanjiro has been nothing but kind to him since he met him, even though he's been clearly annoyed with the guy. Okay, maybe nothing. He did knock him out. I won't forget about that. But he's still shown him so much kindness. You kind of have to wonder if just like Tundra's presence on him is changing him a little bit too. So long drawn out way of saying, I really just liked how he was like, and Tundra will yell at you too. Like in his dying moments, he's like, don't get yelled at by Tundra. And I thought it was just really sweet because their friendship is blossoming so much.
Oh. Speaking of sweet moments, can I give an honorable mention this episode? Sure. Very short moment, but it's like in the flashback when Zenitsu's like up in the tree still with his black hair and he's like screaming down to Gramps. He's like, I don't want to keep doing this because I feel like I'm going to fail you and I don't want to disappoint you because I love you. And Gramps like gets like the little like blush marks on his cheeks and is like all happy. It's like, oh, it's so cute.
Oh, man. There's so many good moments. I also think about like we haven't talked about just when Tundra was trying to bandage Inosuke and their little like argument and Inosuke is like, I'm fine. And Tundra is clearly so worried about him. He's like, he's so hurt. I'm so nervous for him. And I was like, Tundra, you're so worried about him. He's probably going to be fine. But it was just, oh, such a sweet little moment too. Like the look on Tandro's face was just so like full of worry and like he cares about him so much already, even though they haven't even really fought together yet. This friendship, man.
Right. One last thing before we go, though. I want to talk about real quick. Also in that like monologue of Zenitsu's when he's like, I want to live up to your expectations. I've been training so hard and I have nothing to show for it. Like just another moment of his like determination, like wanting to be something more. But I guess we can leave the episode on that note, because I guess we always all want to be something more, right? Mm. Well, I hope this episode helps you find that reason to want to do something more, folks. But of course, we are always available on TikTok. We always got something funny going on over there. We got our Instagram where you can see us doing more of this podcast such. You can give us a like, give us a follow, hit those subscribe buttons, and we will definitely answer any questions you DM us or comment us. So please let us know what you want to see from us in the future. And of course, umai.
Umai.
Umai.